Death Spiral, the only anime podcast brought to you by real truth tellers, brave enough to bring it to you like it is. We're back. We're doing anime shit. We're in our whole new bag. We're fresh off a whole year. We're going in a whole new direction where we bring you good content. We're going to have good opinions. We're changing this shit up like crazy. It's going to be a whole different style of podcast. Isn't that right, Nate?
New and improved anime death spiral. This time, it's good.
Yeah, whole new flavor. This is sparkling anime podcast. I'm really excited because, like, I'm all about anime now. I love anime. I've been reading anime. I've been watching anime. I'm like deep in the culture. I'm following anime TikToks. I'm tweeting about anime. I'm reading people's reviews about anime. I'm posting in the forums about anime. I'm like in it. I'm really in it. I'm embedded in anime.
If you were actually doing all of those things that you're claiming to right now, there's no way you would actually like anime.
No, you don't get it. I'm deeply, deeply depressed.
Oh, no, that makes sense. That clicks for me.
Yeah. Now you get it.
Yeah.
Now
you get it. You're in the hole.
I am deep in the hole. Actually, it is true because, like, I checked last night and I have already played almost 50 hours of Unicorn Overlord. I checked my playtime.
I can't stay away from those Vanillaware titties, huh?
I can't bring myself to stop playing Unicorn Overlord for even a second. And I will say, it did come out on the 8th. So it's been 11 days, 50 hours in 11 days. I guess that's not the worst. That's not the worst.
Okay, can you like try and sell me just a little bit on Unicorn Overlord, because I looked at it after the last time we talked about it, and The artwork is good, but
it
looks like a in-browser flash game.
How dare you?
The character models are just paper cutouts.
What an awful thing to say. They look great in motion. It's funny you say that, because actually there's a detailed breakdown of their animation system that they made for this game, so that they could easily iterate on a vast amount of characters, because the game is stock up. It is overflowing with playable characters. It's
insane.
Well,
they're doing the Fire Emblem thing, right, where you can just collect a whole bunch of different people and swap them in and out. As seen fit.
Exactly. There's so many different classes, and all the characters have like different stat builds and stuff, so you can get insanely deep with that kind of thing if you want to. I mostly just group characters together based on vibes, to be honest. I'm not a particularly tactical player.
Yeah, I like to put together my team based on ships.
Absolutely.
Like, which is the most popular?
Oh, yes, of course. You have to.
I like to go on AO3 and sort by character popularity, and you know, you have to put them in a ranking system.
Well, here's the crazy thing, okay? Every single character has a relationship meter with every other character in the game.
And aren't there like 107 characters or some bullshit?
Oh, probably, yeah. I mean, I didn't count last time, but I already have, I don't know, at least 50, probably more than 50 at this point.
I hear there's a lot of characters.
Yeah, I'm already forgetting who some of them are. Like, that's how deep I am in it. And each of them have like story events.
You know, there's Ping Pang, the level one warrior, and
how
Grunto. She's probably like a shoe shiner.
No, come on. No, of course. No, we have Elaine. He's a prince, you know.
And the sassy one of the group.
Yeah. You know, we've got Fran. She's a Griffin Knight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got Hilda. She's a Wyvern Knight. That's cool, right?
Are they all women?
My party is probably pretty evenly split between men and women. Yeah. They keep a pretty good balance, I would say. I don't use a lot of the guys, but hey, you know what? I could if I wanted to. It's hard to sell you on this game because you told me like you never were really into tactics games or Fire Emblem or any of that kind of stuff.
I mean, I was always put off, like I said, by Fire Emblem because of the permanent death thing. Like, that thing in particular is what like someone like, oh yeah, your characters can just die and you don't get them back. And I heard that and said, like, all right, I guess I'm never playing that game. I'm giving it a shot.
You have way too much anxiety.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you may be joking, but it's like, that's actually true with the way my horrible brain works in video games. You know, I think it's the same center that makes people like save up all of their heal potions until the final boss and then not even use them then, right?
Yes, yes, I understand.
It's losing my hoard of things, my things that I've grabbed, right, with my hands.
My precious things. I need my things.
I mean, I go full goblin brain in games like this, right?
Yes, of
course.
Grab
everything, take it all, give nothing back.
Well, look, I'm sympathetic. The difference was I liked the challenge. And mm-hmm. when I lost a guy in Fire Emblem, which happened very often because when I was playing it, I wasn't very good at it, I would just replay this. I would immediately stop and replay the stage and just go straight back and retry it until everybody survived. That's the kind of brain damage I had.
Uh-huh.
And in this game, you don't have to worry about that. No, nobody's permanently dead unless you specifically choose to execute them, which is something that occasionally comes up. Is you'll finish like a story mission and the enemy commander, a lot of the times you're recruiting the enemy commanders, and you'll get a choice every once in a while of like, execute them or spare them. And I've only executed one person.
I mean,
so
if
far.
You can, if you have the option to recruit them and add them to your team, why would you ever execute them? What benefit does it come with?
Well, I have no idea. I have no idea. Except the one time I chose not to recruit, it was this creepy little dude that I found very unsympathetic. So I just said no. I don't want you around my women.
No, creepy little man. I say no to thee.
I say no to thee. And I didn't kill him. He actually just like scuttled away and then came back later on as an enemy again.
That's cool. I like when that happens. I think that's fun in video games.
Yeah, it was interesting. So there has to be some amount of like story missions that you are kind of unlocking or locking depending on those choices, right? Which I think is kind of cool. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like a branching storylines kind of guy, but you know, it's a little bit of a dusting of a branching storyline. That's fine. That's fine with me. I guess the selling point for you would be the fact that there are just massive amounts of systems to interact with.
Yeah, I like systems.
There are builds. And builds and builds and builds. Builds for days. You could spend 40 hours just doing builds.
I mean, how many classes are there?
I don't know. Like 40?
Oh, damn.
I mean, I swear to God, I have probably around 40 characters, and there are very little overlap in classes so far.
I mean, what'd you say? One of them was Griffin Knight?
Yeah.
Dragon Knight?
I've got a lot of knights.
No, wait, no, that's Dota.
Yeah, that's Dota. I've got a Griffin Knight, I've got a Wyvern Knight, I've got a Radiant Knight, I've got a regular Knight, I've got a Dark Knight.
Oh, gotta have a Dark Knight.
Yeah, a Vanilla Knight, I don't know what they're called. Just a regular Knight, I guess.
A Day Knight.
Then you've got Nobles, which are their own class for some reason, which I'll get to. That's part of that's one of the things I don't like.
I'm an aristocrat. That's my class.
It is. It's fucking stupid. You have Valkyries. You have literal angels. You have priests, clerics, witches, mages, thieves, fighters, sellswords, Vikings, raiders.
Butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, tinkers, tailors, soldiers, spies.
Fucking name it, it's fucking in there. And every single one of them has various different equip spots. They all have various abilities that they unlock as they level up, right? A lot of them have unique, like, inherent abilities. They have, like, overworld abilities that are different from their combat abilities.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because you said,
yes,
you know, when we talked about Vanillaware games before, you brought up food. Can you cook?
You have to buy the food from taverns that you unlock.
Okay. Does the food at least come with artwork, like cool artwork?
It comes with not only artwork, but animations as you eat the food.
Okay, well, yeah, I can get behind that. All right.
Yeah, it kicks ass. And you have different food, which unlock different levels of relationship with different amounts of people, depending on like how much you're willing to spend on the food.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also, all the dishes are regional. So as you unlock different areas, there are different regional dishes.
Okay, right? That's very interesting and very cool. And like, I'm not even like being sarcastic about it like I was with all the other agreements.
Wow.
Previously.
Wow. Disrespect.
No, but I think that's a very cool piece of world building, and I like when games do that.
It fucking rules, dude. That's what I'm telling you. It kicks ass. Also, these meals, they're not just like hunk of pork. I'm talking about like very specific kinds of dishes. Also, every dish comes with like 5 side dishes. You're talking about different kinds of salads, fresh baked breads, you know, cookies.
Oh, God, you're killing me.
All kinds of shit, you know?
Making my mouth water.
There's desserts. Yeah, there's entrees. There's breakfasts. This game is fucking crazy. Yeah, sure. Okay, on the outside, sure, it looks like a Flash game. But I'm telling you, the systems in this game are deeper than probably anything they've made previously. It's wild.
Yeah, the way you're describing it, it's reminding me a lot of, you never played Star Ocean 3 till the end of time on the PlayStation 2, did you?
No, I did not. But I know, much like, what was the other one? Soikoden, there's like massive amounts of unlockable characters, right?
Kinda. It's not massive amounts of unlockable characters in that one, although it does do the thing, where you kind of have a branching storyline depending on who you unlock.
Sure.
There's kind of a cool segment where on a traditional PS1 JRPG, there would be like a disc break, right?
Yeah.
During that part of the game, kind of like that end of Act 2, you have the option to either recruit, you know, one of two people that you've been interacting with in the story up until that point. One of them is like been in your party and the other one is a villain that you've been fighting, kind of like in a Gary Oak rival format, where he shows up every once in a while to kind of be a barrier to test your strength.
Uh-huh.
And you have the chance to recruit him at the expense of the chick that's like been in your party this entire time and you've already been like building relationship points with. And I think that's a cool choice to make, because mechanically he was generally one of the better characters you could recruit in the game, but I also think that's just kind of a neat thing to do. You don't see a whole lot of those kind of terminal choices in these games.
Sure. I do have to say, and this isn't a knock against,
oh, sorry, real quick, what I was trying to get at is that Star Ocean 3 was also a systems-heavy game with lots of weird little nitty-gritty behind-the-scenes stat stuff like cooking. Like, I think, if I remember right, cooking, forging, sewing, as in armor-making,
yeah,
blacksmithing, all of those were separate skills that you had to level up, you know, by doing kind of weird little persona daily tasks at.
Sure.
Anyway, that's what it reminded me of, these kind of those, like these weird kind of esoteric like system heavy games.
Yeah, well, that does actually remind me of like one of those things. This isn't specific to Unicorn Overlord. There are a couple of Overlord things I'm not a huge fan of, but this is sort of on the borderline. Relationship points.
Yeah,
that's weird, right? That sucks.
The whole concept sucks. It's weird.
It's so fucking weird. And it sucks.
And as someone who's currently playing that new Persona 3 remake, that entire game is all about relationship points.
Oh my God, it's so weird.
I take umbrage at the implication in those games, Persona specifically, like,
yeah,
all right, you can only do one thing a day. You got to choose the one friend you see that day.
Yes, I'm sure that gives you also a lot of anxiety.
It does. It gives me a lot of anxiety.
It's really killing you.
Because it's specifically set up to be like, all right, well, I guess I'm okay with this person hating me because I want to go increase my bowling stat or whatever.
Dog, you have to go on the dates, man. Like, what are you doing?
No one's asked me out yet.
You're seriously going to go do your, like, part-time job instead of going on a date? That's awful. Awful.
Listen, I just want to be a model student, okay?
I mean, there's a lot of talk, you know, for years about how fucking bizarre and off-putting it is to, like, put emotion tokens into a girl until she, like, will sleep with you or whatever, right?
It was a hard wake-up for a lot of young men.
Playing the Cyberpunk DLC, and, like, I started a new character to do that, you know, and so I did the whole thing. And, you know, I got together with Judy again, you know. I'll admit it.
Disgusting, by the way.
I fucking did
that
it again.
That actually makes you a bad person.
It's fucking weird. And I did feel bad about it. I felt weird the whole time, but, you know, it's like, I'm not gonna do it.
I mean, I'm specifically attracted to her trauma. I wish I wasn't, but, you know, if I had to choose between her being happy and me dating her, I guess I have to choose with the latter. I'd have to go with the latter.
Look,
that's what you're saying right now.
She is not gonna be happy no matter what I do.
That's not true. That's not true. Because if you don't romance her, she leaves the city and has a fine time. She reconnects with her grandma. She goes on a road trip to Oregon.
She does not have a fine time. She is deeply traumatized by the events of the game, no matter what you do.
Well, at least in that path, she is on the way to healing, as opposed to being stuck down with whatever you are.
Whatever bullshit you're doing. I have to say, I mean, not to diverge so far, but man, the writing in that game, I genuinely fucking, I think, sucks in a lot of spots. But I finally did, after playing that game for truly a baffling amount of time, considering how little I actually enjoyed it, I did the ending where you just fucking cap yourself on the roof.
Hell yeah.
And it does do one of the most brutal endings I have ever seen any video game ever, which is listening to the voicemails of characters calling you and, like, leaving their messages about how fucked up it was that you killed yourself without talking to them. And, like, doing the romance thing with Judy and then hearing her fucking call you up and be like, wow, I truly don't even know how to process this. Like, I'm destroyed forever now. I don't know what to do. That was truly emotionally devastating to be on a level that I very, very rarely access when I'm playing a video
game.
That
one hits you hard, huh?
Yeah, kudos to them. Well, even all of them. I thought all of them were pretty well done, of all the characters you met. Anyway, emotion coins. Those things fucking suck, right?
Yes.
In Unicorn Overlord, at least the way they do it is, like, you build relationships by spending time together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the longer you fight together in the same unit, your bonds grow, or, like, the more meals you share together, your bonds grow. Like, that's how you do it. And, you know, the fact that you're, like, not specifically role-playing, like, one character, even though Elaine is considered the protagonist of the game based on the narrative. It feels less grubby, I guess.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I get there's something to say for that, at least. You know, you want to feel good about playing the characters that you are, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and also that, like I said before, all the characters have relationships with all the other characters. So it doesn't feel like, oh, well, I'm just investing my little emotion coins in the girls I like.
I mean, I would love for a game to be just totally upfront and on the nose about it and just straight up like, oh, yeah, those are love dollars. And if you give them to the to the girls in your party, they'll love you more until eventually you can marry them.
Yeah, like Dresden Dolls, right?
Yeah.
Coin-operated girl.
Coin-operated boy, I think is the song.
Well, fuck it. I'm co-opting it.
The song's about a vibrator.
Really?
Yeah.
That song's about cum?
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I hate Dresden Dolls.
You and Neil Gaiman both. But you lost less in the divorce than he did.
Oh, no. Does she own Sandman now?
No. He was able to keep that at the expense of Coraline.
I like Coraline better, though.
I have to disagree with you there. You don't even get to say that. You never read Sandman.
I didn't watch it either. Fuck that. And I never will. That's a promise I can make to you, listener. I will never watch Sandman.
He's going to break it immediately just to be spiteful.
Nope. I never will. I never will.
Well, you haven't been watching Sandman. What have you been watching or reading?
I've been watching most of the stuff I talked about at the beginning of the season. I've kept up with pretty much everything. Everything is wrapping up now. We have one more episode of Dungeon Meshi to go. More episode of most of the shows I'm watching. You know, Ishira's almost done. I think this season of Witch and the Beast is only 12 episodes. I'm way behind on Buchigiri, but I think that's only a couple episodes left to go or something. Man, that one's weird. We're going to talk about that one.
Now, actually, backing up a minute, is Dungeon Meshi almost done? Because I did look into that. It got initially contracted for a full 26-episode season. And whether or not they're splitting that up into an A and B, like most things are these days, I haven't heard. But I know that if... you know, 12 or 13 or whatever it ends on right now, I know that it's going to be coming back for a second part.
Oh, it definitely will.
I would love it. I would love it if they do. They have characters in the intro animation that don't show up until yes. What would be the second half. So be kind of a weird tease.
One of my anime watch partners has taken to refusing to watch anime openers. They just stay on their phone while the anime opener
is playing. It's like trailers for movies, right? They just reveal too much.
Yes, they hate seeing characters or events portrayed that we're not gonna get to, which is one of those cardinal sins of anime for sure. Like, I do wish they would stop doing that. It drives people crazy.
You know, the only time that I'm really totally 100% on board is when the JoJo animations do it, because I fucking love those so much, especially the one for Stone Ocean, which basically lays out the entire plot of the first season right there in the first episode, right at the beginning.
Yeah.
But man, it goes so hard. The song and in the animation fucking kicks ass. I love it.
Yeah, it totally kicks ass. The opener to Phantom Blood is basically an entire JoJo retrospective built into like one minute and a half music video, which fucking rules.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good. Man, what a great opener. Sometime we should talk about openers.
Oh, absolutely. I've been thinking about that for a while. Yeah. I would love to do an episode about that.
I mentioned last time, you know, I really do hate this entire thing of like splitting up seasons and calling them like part ones, part twos. Like I said, this is completely fucking contractual fuckery. This is entirely designed to keep animators like living in fucking halfway houses. I don't think it's cute. I do think it's incredibly exploitative. I do think that animators should be able to do 12 episode seasons. I won't want to get that wrong. Less animation with better quality is a win for all of us.
Sure, absolutely.
Objectively. You don't need your slop being like fire hose down your throat, okay? You can build some patience over time. I promise you it gets easier if you practice. But yeah, when we do our spring season look, we'll can do the season wrap up for most of this stuff. Because I got some things to say, especially about Buchigiri. Like, what the fuck? So, I've mostly just been, like, I've been catching up with some old stuff. Natsume Arata's getting married. Gachi Yakuta, Spy Family. Chojin X. Hikaruga Shindanatsu. All really fucking great stuff, which I can't believe you're not reading already. I started reading Cypher Academy, which is by Nisi Oin, the guy who did Bakemonogatari.
Oh, no. Does it also have a toothbrush scene?
Not yet. It's actually much more innocent than that. I'm actually a little bit surprised. I started reading something called Toge Oni, which I found incredibly cute. Get into that at some point. It's very, very good. Started reading something called Gamoran, which is just very traditional shonen fare. And one in particular called Ju-Nimpo Makai Tensho.
Okay.
Which is by the guy who did Basilisk. Did we talk about Basilisk at any point? I don't think
we've ever mentioned it in depth. I always hear Basilisk. I always hear it brought up in relation to
Ninja Scroll.
Oh, hey, this is Ninja Scroll.
Yeah,
this is the one that's like Ninja Scroll, but not. I also hear it referenced in like, oh, this is the ninja version of Berserk or something like that. I've heard people say that.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, it's Ninja Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, sure.
And I think it's better than Ninja Scroll. I think it's fucking incredible. It's jaw-droppingly good.
I mean, Ninja Scroll is hard to judge because it is just like a single movie from the 80s. I guess there was that...
There's a TV show.
There was that bad TV show from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I guess there
you
is know, that.
There's more stuff but there if you want it.
I feel like there's not a lot to Ninja Scroll, right? Outside of like, oh, hey, it's some bloody animation and it's about ninjas.
I mean, look, a lot of anime in that time period and even a Basilisk a little bit, they are heavily based on vibes.
See, you said
that
it
was
too.
A vibes Basilisk. Era. Basilisk. Basilisk. It's hard to say. Basilisk fucking rules, like straight up. It's got an incredibly juicy emotional core, but at the same time, the entire time is like magic ninjas fucking battling to the death. It's, oh my god, it is what anime is about, you know what I mean? And it's got that fucking like 80s juicy flavor to it too, you know?
I do like that.
This isn't any kind of watered down post Naruto ninja shit. This is like historical ninja shit. Oh my god, it's brutal as fuck. It's so good. Does not pull any punches.
Now, where does the name come from?
Basilisk?
Yeah.
I think it just sounds cool.
It just sounds cool.
I'm sure maybe, you know, you have some kind of emotional resonance because a basilisk, right, is two opposing animals that have come together, much like the two opposing ninja clan heads who have fallen in love with each other, even though it's forbidden, and ultimately the result is sort of monstrous. You know, if I have to go into my bag, then, you know, you could look at it like that.
If you're reaching down into your metaphor bag.
Yeah, you know, if you have to metaphorize it, but yeah. I think mostly it's basilisk is just like a cool word.
It's I like mean, no cool. arguments there.
It is very evocative. Yeah, you hear basilisk and you're like, you're intrigued, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds cool.
I think of either a giant snake that can turn you to stone, or like you were saying, I think of a giant chicken. That can turn you to stone.
Yeah.
It seems to be the recurring theme there is being turned to stone.
Yeah. And we know they're up in it because we just saw one on Dungeon Meshi too, right?
Oh, hell yeah. I really like that bit in Dungeon Meshi about how like the best way to kill a basilisk is by confusing both of its heads at once because it doesn't know which head to follow.
Yeah, it has very stupid and it's got a small brain.
Well, that and I really, really like the joke about how the snake part is the main body and the chicken is the tail. That's a great
yes.
bit.
That is some butchery nerd shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you call that? What do you call the art of butchery?
Butchering.
Oh, that sounds so morbid though.
Yeah.
There's got to be a better word for it. Butchery is like so morbid.
The art of mutilation.
The art of mutilation, yes.
That's sick. That's my next album name.
So yeah, Ninpo Makai Tensho is sort of in the same vein. It's just instead of ninja, it's more about samurai. It's got a really weird conceit where it's about like historical figures who are like samurai. They're like incredible combatants from the age of Miyamoto Musashi era.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All these various historical legendary figures who are sword fighters or spear fighters or whatever. But the central conceit is that this like evil wizard has come up with a way to like,
man, I hate those guys.
Turn these samurai into immortals. And the way that they do it is by implanting a magic mummy finger in the womb of a lady. And then the samurai or whatever fucks the lady, gets her impregnated with himself, and then is born out of the lady explosively, I will add.
Oh, this kills the lady.
This kills the lady.
Oh, no.
Which is one of the central questions I have about the series is why would any lady agree to this? It's fucking awful. But they come out as demons. So it's like, it's clearly like, it's not value neutral here. It's like, this is bad. This is a bad
thing. Wait, so what happens to their original body?
Oh, it dies. They die as soon as they nut. It's nut death.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
They just they experience the big death and the little death.
Yes, exactly. They fucking keel over on these chicks.
Oh, it's wild. Wow. That is dark and weird.
It is dark and weird. That is the central premise of this fucking thing. And it is just bizarre. It's cool, but it's fucking weird. I like it.
Oh man. All right. Can I tell you about something weird that I stumbled upon?
Please.
Well, I've been reading two things, but I'll tell you about the weirder one first.
Okay.
I stumbled upon this manga called Michan Wants to Be Kept. And at first...
Okay, wait, hold on. A kept woman is a thing.
Yes, it's a play on words, but...
Is it that?
It's kind of that, but not really. Like, okay, so the general premise is, you know, it looks like a standard, like, horny bait... like low effort, you know, etchy rom-com, right? It's about a guy, unsatisfied office dude, who adopts a stray cat. And then wouldn't you know it turns out that that cat, she's only a cat at night. During the day, she's a cat girl.
Like Nuku Nuku?
Kinda, but more like just a regular girl.
But not a robot.
Just a regular girl, actually. She doesn't have cat ears or a tail. She just turns into, like, a regular a girl.
She doesn't even have cat ears? What's the point of being a cat?
Well, she's a werecat, essentially, is what we've established. So, cat at night, cute girl at day.
Seems like a waste.
Obviously, you get the standard gag about him waking up with a naked girl in his bed and freaking out.
We're going on, like, 30 years of that exact imagery.
Yeah. I mean, well, contractually, you have to put that panel in there.
Yes.
The editor says, like, oh, cat girl? All right, well, you know what you have to do. Like, get it out of the way early.
Yeah, like we talked about before, it is financially irresponsible to not put that in your manga.
Yeah. But as it went on, it threw me for a loop because it has two central hooks to it. One is that this dude... is completely and totally uninterested in the cat girl, romantically, sexually. He's totally ambivalent. Like, he's like, all right, well, I mean, I don't want to have sex with you because you're a cat, and that's weird.
Is it because of the cat, or is it he's just not interested in sex at all?
No, he has, like, a crush on his totally regular human adult female coworker that he likes.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Totally like, right. Hey, you're... a cat, and like, no, I don't want to have sex with a cat. That's weird.
Okay, so this cat girl is actually like blowing up his spot and preventing him from initiating an actual relationship.
They're working towards some gags like that. It's still early on. I think there's like 11 or 12 chapters out right now.
Okay.
So still very early on in life, but yeah, we've had some of that where he's like, oh, you can't come over to my house because there's a naked cat girl hanging out there. Can't have you seeing that.
Wait, he just admits it?
Well, no, but you know, that's what his actions are saying to us, the audience.
Okay, I see. Because I kind of think just being honest about it is the correct play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to see it go that way, too. Especially, and this plays into the other central hook to the story that I was getting at. And that is, apparently, they introduce the concept that not only is she a cat girl, that, you know, is human during the day and cat at night. There is an entire underground society of sexy cat girls. And, like, they get together and talk to each other at night when they're cats.
Oh, my God.
And so...
Like the mole men?
Yes, like the mole men.
They're a secret society of weird creatures that live under our nose?
and to compound with that... So remember how I mentioned he has, like, a totally normal... adult office worker lady that he has a crush on?
Yeah.
Well, she has a cat.
Oh, no. No. No, don't tell me. Oh, no.
She has a cat girl, too.
No. She's also keeping a cat girl?
She's also keeping a cat girl.
Awful.
So now what they're currently doing is they are having this ongoing gag where they're both trying to prevent each other from finding out that they live with a cat girl. Well, both, not knowing the other one is in the same situation.
Okay, so, like, if Masterful Cat was, like, a sex comedy?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, a little bit that. Yeah,
okay.
And did I mention that the cat girl that lives with him is canonically and explicitly 16 years old?
They lay it out.
They lay it
in
out
in cat years or human years.
Well, okay, so magical cat girls only age in human years.
Oh,
they're not bound by cat age. But
okay,
if they don't fall in love with a man by 18, they have to stay a cat forever.
Is that bad?
Well,
do they not want to do that?
I don't think so, because I don't think that you're a citizen if you're a cat.
Oh shit, they don't have human rights.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have to be a human to have human rights.
They'll put you down. Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
I mean, it's laid out as a concern.
Wow, that's really fucked up.
And so I was like, this just interested me because I thought it was going to be the totally straightforward, like, oh, he's just, he lives with a sexy teenager that is also a cat sometimes, but no,
sure.
They go full in on the cat thing and kind of sideline the sexy teenager thing pretty early on.
Wow. That's, huh.
Right?
Yeah, that's weird. What a weird angle to play.
So I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye on that one. Like I said, it's still early on, but
okay.
But really, that one stuck with me of all the absolutely trashy rom-com shit that I go through.
Yeah. Let me throw. I won't talk about them, but let me just throw out two ones because that reminded me. There, I read one about a girl who accidentally enrolls in the all were-creature school. And she has to pretend that she's also a were-creature. That kind of reminded me of that.
That's just the gender flip version of the guy who enrolls in the monster girl school.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And then the other one is the guy who enrolls in the mixed monster human school and falls for the werewolf girl. That's currently going.
I mean, understandable. That's a totally understandable and true and valid and legal choice to make.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem there.
That one's weird though, because like there's a Medusa in his class and she could easily kill every single person in the school, but she doesn't.
Do they make any jokes about how she makes people rock hard?
No. It seems to play it more innocent than that. But the looming threat of mass death hangs in the air unspoken.
Just like high school, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like American high school. okay. What else have you been reading?
Let me tell you, well, one more weird little thing that I stumbled upon. And this is another weird little rom-com called Smoking Behind the Convenience Store with You.
Yes, I'm aware of this one.
So you're aware of it, but you said that you haven't read it yet. You kind of skipped over it.
I was put off by the description pretty heavily, yeah.
It is part of the whole, you called it age gap romance. I don't use that term.
I'm not the only one who calls it age gap romance. I'm pretty sure the official description called it age gap romance.
It is about a, you know, again, a beleaguered office worker. This time he's like middle-aged, 40 something, but still cool and handsome and tall.
Oh sure.
They want to make that clear.
Absolutely, of course.
And he's kind of awkward, kind of a little bit anxious, but he's pretty good at his job. He's a manager, so he's not like a total fuck up, right?
His masculinity is intact.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's still fuckable.
And he's got a crush. He's got a crush on the cashier at the convenience store that he stops by to get his smokes at every day on the way home from work.
Yeah, great. Everybody loves that.
Women love it when you form one-sided relationships with them from afar.
Yeah.
Based on transactional interactions.
Yes, do it as often as you can, guys. It always works.
So anyway, he's buying his smokes, wondering if he's ever gonna work up the courage to ask her out one day, and around the corner,
I hope he doesn't.
Well,
I really hope he does not.
Well, and so here's the thing, is he gets kind of waved over on his way out the store by a totally, air quotes, different person than this girl.
Great.
You see, she can't be the same person because she wears her hair down and has earrings and wears a jacket.
Wow. That's some Superman shit.
That's what, yeah. That the gag of the comic is that he likes to smoke with his friend, his platonic friend that he met outside the convenience store, and doesn't know that she is the same person as the cashier he has a crush on.
Which I do have to point out, that implies, I mean, this is a subtextual aspect of the work, that he just has a convenience store outfit fetish. That's it. That's what he is attracted to.
You think so?
Is like a name tag.
I think it's much more sad and much more sinister than that. I think that he is attracted to the customer service, like, personality, the mask that cashiers.
The subservience.
Yes.
He is attracted to her because he has power over her, whereas he sees this girl behind the convenience store as his equal.
Because...
rendering her non-sexual to him. Wow. Wow. This is... okay, man. This is wild.
I mean, you know, you're reading a little bit into it, but I don't think you're wrong.
No, I haven't read it.
But yeah, the most of the gags kind of, and they're not long chapters, they're like 10, 13 pages tops. And most of them center around the fact that everybody in his life cannot believe how incredibly dumb he is for not seeing that they're the same person, to the point where it's comical that he doesn't understand that she's just wearing different clothes.
Wow. I find that not comical. I find that deeply sad.
If I was the girl, I would find it a little offensive, right?
Yeah.
It's like object permanence, right? You're wearing different clothes, therefore you must be a different person.
Yeah, Superman puts on his glasses and now he's Clark Kent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of a few things, but one is the guy I like isn't a guy at all. You remember we talked about that one?
Yeah, we did talk about that one.
Except in that case, the girl, when she's at work... she wears a mask, like a breathing mask, and she puts in all of her piercings and she ties her hair back in a different way. And she dresses up like all, in all of her like goth clothing. And at school, she has to take all that shit out and wear her glasses in her school.
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly the same thing that's happening here. When she goes outside on her smoke breaks, she has like her punk earrings in and a lip ring, and she wears her punk jacket. And apparently, I cannot figure it out, though. The most confusing thing is that apparently she reapplies and takes off her black lipstick every time she goes outside to smoke.
That is wild. That is really wild. You know the thing that makes the guy I like isn't a guy at all work, though?
What?
Is that she, the girl falls in love with this quote-unquote guy... while the quote-unquote guy is, like, expressing her true self, right? That's the person this girl is attracted to.
Uh-huh.
In this case, it is the exact opposite.
He's attracted to the fake customer service personality.
Yes.
And is like, oh, yes. You're like, who's this sour-faced, you know, loudmouth punk chick?
Yeah.
I'm not attracted to her, but I'll take up her time and smoke with her.
This is deeply depressing. This is disturbing how sad that is.
And again, I want to make it clear, we should circle back to the age gap thing. She's 22 and he's 45.
He's 45?
Yeah.
Wow, you should have led with that. That is fucking wild.
They really downplay the age gap with the art because he's still drawn as like, pretty relatively young looking.
Yeah, he's fuckable.
Fuckable.
Yeah.
He's got his big defining characteristic is that he has like, you know, the stress lines under his eyes.
Of course. The mark of the aged businessman.
Exactly.
Yes.
But other than that, he's still, you know, he's no different. He's still got all his hair up there and down there, if you know what I mean.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But he feels the heat, though. He feels the clock is ticking, right?
And he also cannot go 35 minutes without a cigarette.
Yeah, see, that's the part where it's like, man, you're 45. You've probably been smoking like... what, most of your life? You don't usually pick up smoking like in your 30s, you know?
Mm-hmm. You either pick up smoking when you're 12, like fucking behind the YMCA, or you don't. Yeah. You just don't start.
Or when you go to prison.
Or college.
Like, sure. It's weird. That's an incongruity. It's hard to square that circle in particular, along with all the other shit. This seems like a deeply confusing and depressing manga.
I'm again, there's like 30 something chapters out. It came out last year, maybe the year before that. I don't know. It's still, again, another young one, relatively speaking. But I'm still reading it. I want to see where we are in the most current chapter. I just want to see, like, where could this possibly be going?
Sure.
Because currently, again, it's mostly just a gag thing where it's like, you know, they do like a little meet cute thing, and then she's like, wow, he can't possibly keep thinking that we're different people after this time. But no, he still does. Keeps on thinking it.
Is she into him?
Yeah, I think she is.
Wow.
But as far as we, the audience, have been informed, we don't know why yet. It's almost entirely from his perspective, but she does seem into him. She does seem into him. But, you know, only because she's written that way.
Don't hate me, I'm just written that way, right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you about two manga that one reminds me of, just very quickly?
Yeah. Tell me about them real quick, and then I gotta go take a smoke break. I really need a cigarette, man.
This really is killing me. Two manga that center around smoking, right? The first one is called Cigarholic. Now, this is a manga where I'm not sure if cigarettes don't exist in the world or they've been banned, but instead of smoking, men, and it seems to be explicitly men, buy sexy robots, and when you kiss them, their lips emit nicotine.
Wait, so you have to... You kiss the robot to get the nicotine?
You make out with your nicotine robot, your sexy girl nicotine robot, and she gets you fucked up on nicotine.
It seems overcomplicated.
It's a long walk.
Why not
for sure.
A patch or a pill or any of the other alternatives that we have existing and available today that are quicker and more efficient at getting it into your bloodstream?
I don't think it's about quitting smoking. I think it's about picking up smoking.
It still doesn't make sense.
No, the metaphor really breaks down if you think about it for even a second. Here, let me tell you about the even wilder one. This one's called Tobacco Chan. This is about some dipshit business guy who can't quit smoking because when he lights up, a sexy anime girl comes out of the cigarette and hangs out with him.
My fucking nightmare.
There is a different sexy anime cigarette girl who comes out of different brands. So when he smokes other brands, there's like other girls, and the first girl like gets jealous and shit.
See, the only way I can see this evolving is if it goes like full on. Like the nicotine, the cigarette girls are fucking stands, and you smoke to summon your fighting ghost.
That's so much cooler than this shit.
Like imagine lighting up a fucking Camel menthol, and Joe Camel appears over your shoulder, fucking doing sidekicks and shit.
It's funny you say that because the second girl, the love triangle girl, that shows up is a menthol. She's a home wrecking menthol.
Wow.
I can't think of anything more illegal than these two comics. These are like specifically built in a lab to be like, hey kids, you should smoke. We came down like a fucking like a bag of hammers on Joe Camel, who was just a cool dude who wore a leather jacket and rode around on a motorcycle and was a camel. These are fucking moe anime girls who want to fuck you. How this is so much more nefarious than Joe Camel ever got.
Oh man, it's like they took the most immoral thing that an American tobacco executive could think of, and they're like, no, we can do one better. We can do it better than that.
It is probably the most evil thing you can do with a manga. I'm racking my mind, and I cannot think of anything more evil you can do by drawing a comic.
It's truly mind-boggling because it's like even the American advertising industry. Well, I mean, I'm not going to put the good decision on them. It was banned, but the American government was like, oh, yeah, we cannot sell Like, we draw the line at selling cigarettes directly marketed to kids.
Directly to children.
Yeah. we put up with a lot. We participate and approve of a lot. But that one, that one thing, like, we need that in our back pocket to remain, like, to have some semblance of legitimacy and moral upstanding fiber, right? But no, Japan's like, no, fuck it. We'll sell cigarettes to the kids. Fuck them. Fuck them kids.
I'm just like, I'm imagining the board meeting where it's like, what if we told horny 14-year-olds that the cigarettes would fuck them? And the other guy's going, that's a billion-dollar idea. You're promoted. You're promoted in the room.
Here, you can have my job. I obviously don't deserve it.
Yeah, no, you're the new Philip Morris. I dub thee Philip Morris II.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck. All right, let's go. Let's take a drag. I'm fucking dying.
Yeah, I need to light up.
Everybody, we are back from anime. We did some animeing.
I really needed that cigarette.
Yeah, that was really refreshing. Did an anime girl come out of your cigarette?
No, but I did make out with my vape.
Okay, that was sick. I was smoking red apples. Get it?
Yeah, no, I get it.
All right, now we're doing something a little special. Like I said at the top of the show, whole new year, whole new me. We're doing things differently. So this time we brought on a couple people to talk anime with us. Now, I think we've talked previously, Nate, about how anime has destroyed me both physically and mentally, right?
It's been covered pretty extensively at this point. You're a broken shell of a man.
Yes. So the first guest is my brain surgeon, Shelb. She is, of course, studying the calcified shonen deposits that have been showing up on my CAT scans. It's been pretty difficult, but, you know, I trust her with my life. Our second guest is, of course, Lonk, who is my clinical psych. Lonk is, of course, the first clinical psych studying a midlife tune-in crisis. My two guests, please, Shelb, say an anime.
Hunter Hunter.
Lonk, please say an anime.
Dungeon Meshi.
Excellent. We're off to the races. Now, Nate has, of course, prepared for us a make good for his embarrassing failure at producing a Jeopardy game in a previous episode. We've sent him back into the lab, and he has assured me that this time he has put the puzzle pieces together correctly. Is that right?
I believe that I've come back with a fresh formula here, a new and exciting game that I call Death Game Categories, or maybe Category Death Games. Still workshopping it. Shut up.
Okay, it's great to come in without a name. That's really helpful.
So it is simple and devious. I'm going to explain the rules to you here. I have several lists here. I'm going to read them off to you, and then I will post them in the group chat here so you guys can review them. But the goal is to look at this list and determine what is the name of the category. There is a second twist on this. There's five things on each list, and one thing on each list is going to be the odd man out. So the goal is twofold: name the category and identify which one doesn't fit in with the others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like a variant of connections.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Now, I have a very important question clarify, Nate. Does this have something to do with anime?
Oh, it has everything to do with anime.
Okay. All right. Great. I just want to make sure we're on brand.
Absolutely. And so there is a twist here. I'm going to be giving you guys player 1, 2, and 3. We'll start with player 1, And each of you is going to get a chance to guess both the category and the odd man out. And if you get either one, the guess passes to the next contestant, giving them the chance to steal the point. Does that make sense?
Yes. Can I be Ichi?
Yes, you can be Ichi, number one. I'm going to say Lonk is number two.
Ni.
Because they're my favorite. And
oh my god.
Wow.
Whoa.
He's already trying to pit us against each other.
And Shelby is going to be player number three.
San.
Because of the many crimes she's committed against the show so far.
Okay.
One time.
Okay, so I'm Ichi, Lonk is Ni, Shelby is San.
You got it.
Excellent.
Are the contestants ready and fully aware of the rules? Just to confirm.
I'm locked in.
I'm ready. I do want to know at the start here, is there any sort of reward or punishment associated with this game?
For wrong answers, I am going to have my creature send out painful electrical shocks to each of you.
Okay. Sounds hot.
Joke's on you. I'm into that.
Yes, I have to say, unfortunately, there is nothing rewarding about anime. It is just punishments.
It's only a path downward, and that really is the point.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's fucking
okay.
do it. Let's do it.
I'm ready.
All right.
Ichi's locked in.
Contestant, Ichi, starting list number one.
All right.
Full Metal Alchemist.
I've heard of it.
One Piece.
Also heard of it.
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, that's a, yeah. Got that one.
Dragon Ball.
Uh-huh.
Fist of the North Star.
Okay.
I'm posting the list here.
Okay.
What is the category and which one doesn't belong?
Okay, all right. Let's see here. Jeez. Full Metal Alchemist, One Piece, Ghost of the Shell, Dragon Ball, Fist of the North Star. I want to say these are anime for babies, and Ghost in the Shell is obviously the standout.
Wrong.
What?
On both counts?
On both counts.
Oh my god.
Interesting, 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 interesting. Okay.
Wow.
Player two.
Yes.
What do you got?
Okay. Full Metal Alchemist, One Piece, Ghost in the Shell, which we know is one of the four in the category. Dragon Ball and Fist of the North Star. I think I don't know what the category is, so I'm going to guess the odd one out first as a benefit to my player, my team players, because I'm playing this cooperatively. Wow. Even if you try to make it competitive. I think One Piece is the odd one out, and the other four have a character that lives inside of something that's not a normal human body.
That's a good guess.
Wow.
That's, I will take that praise.
Yeah, you're not far off, but unfortunately,
I think Goku does live in a regular body.
Sometimes Goku's just a ghost.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He's mostly dead throughout, like, a majority of the series.
Like, 80% dead.
But in Dragon Ball, he's not dead. He is still a baby.
Oh, shit. That's also, you specified just Dragon Ball, not Dragon
Ball
Z.
Yeah, he didn't say Z.
Sorry, I guess I will give you a hint for the benefit of the players. This encompasses all of Dragon Ball franchise.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Wow, okay. So was One Piece the odd one out?
No.
Oh, okay, well, there you go, Shelby. You got two for sure. Sorry, hey. Shelb.
Oh, God. I've been found out.
For the steal.
Okay, wait. So we said...
It's all on you.
I know, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to go with Ghost in the Shell being the odd one out.
Why?
Because it's the only one with a female lead.
Oh, that is also a good guess. It's wrong.
Damn.
Yeah, I did say that earlier.
Did you?
Yeah.
I usually don't listen when you talk.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
No guess of the category?
Category is young boys like fighting anime.
You mean shonen? Or do you just mean
no.
like little boys in general?
Little boys. Little tiny boys.
Hey, these boys, they're little.
Ken from Fist of the North Star is like 9 feet tall, but he is a boy.
I mean, I just wouldn't verify. I wouldn't say that Ghost in the Shell is like shonen, though. Is it?
No. No.
No.
No, probably not.
guess no, I just I mean
no, because it's good.
Anime gear.
Wow. Controversial.
All right, you guys. Do the contestants want the answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Wow, no points on the first round. Okay,
zero.
Disappointing.
Zeros on the board. Damn.
The category was anime with an American live action adaptation.
Oh.
And the odd man out was Full Metal Alchemist because it did not have an American live action adaptation.
Wow, going with the technicality,
okay,
huh?
Okay, all right. No, I like that. This is specific.
Right. That's pretty good.
Does that give you a feel for the vibe I'm going for here?
Yeah. Let's do the next one.
Okay.
Yes, I've dialed into your specific brand of pedantry.
All right. Well, since we cycled through all of you, we're starting back on player number one.
Oh, because none of us got anything?
Because none of you got anything.
All right, okay. I'd welcome this challenge. Bring it on.
Okay. All right. List number two. Spirit Bomb. Gum Gum Bazooka. Hadouken. Getsuga Tensho and Normal Punch.
Great. Well, I don't know Getsuga Tensho. You've got me on that one. Good job.
I also don't know that one.
That one may have been a bit esoteric, but I threw it in hoping maybe Shelb would get it.
Yeah, I actually do get it.
See, yes. That means I know the contestants.
Wow.
That means I'm good at my job.
Is there an English translation for Getsuga Tensho?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
What is it? Please
get that.
Please tell us.
It's something moon. No, okay, I'm not kidding. It's like
something moon. No, I'll take that.
Like a moon tooth, moon.
So it
something.
Does that mean it's Sailor Moon related?
No. Oh. You went the wrong way. But
I went the wrong way. Not that moon. Different.
Don't
moon.
You answer that question.
Okay.
No, it's Sesshomaru, right?
Also wrong moon.
Come on, what's the category?
Okay. The category is obviously special moves, and the odd one out, oh, god damn it. I want to say Hadouken because that's not specific to anyone. Anyone who learns the Tenryu Dragon School Fist can learn Hadouken. The rest of these are specific.
Oh my god, you nailed it!
Hell
Yay!
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Nice.
The category was anime finishing moves, and the odd one out was the Hadouken because it's from a video game.
Oh.
That was my reasoning. That was my reasoning, at least, but I'll give it to you.
Okay, fine. Well, I still got it. Hell yeah. I'm up by two.
All right.
Take that, suckers.
Player number two.
Yes.
This is your time to shine.
I'm ready.
The Cars, Limp Bizkit, Black Sabbath, No Doubt, Notorious B.I.G.
What?
Okay, the category is JoJo characters.
Yeah, this is unfair to Shelby, who is a snob and refuses to watch JoJo.
I can't handle it.
Another slight against the show.
Yeah. Awful.
I'm not sorry.
And
you will be.
No Doubt is the odd one out.
Ooh.
You got it.
Yes! Yay! JoJo.
The category was characters or bands with JoJo characters named after them.
Yeah, and we talked about this on our JoJo episode earlier because Nate insists, of course, that Gwen Stefani is the basis for Jolene.
I think that is absolutely true.
Oh, no.
You can't look at those photos.
I disagree. I don't like that.
I have some photos that I need to show you. I think that she was absolutely the...
I have some documents I need to show you.
I have some hard evidence.
I have some papers.
Up and to the left.
Wow. Okay, well, you did put Shelb at a disadvantage there.
Well, that one was for me. That was my question.
Yes, clearly. I hope the next one is a little more applicable.
I think Lonk's the favorite.
I hope so. I think this should be pretty accessible to anyone who has even like a baby's understanding of anime.
Okay, okay.
Oh, just no. Warning people who are listening to this, don't let your baby watch anime. That's bad.
I disagree.
Or do. They may grow up to have an anime podcast.
We have made our position about this clear on this podcast. Babies deserve anime. In fact, all anime is specifically for babies. It's the best time for anime.
The children yearn for the animes.
All right, Shelb, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Broccoli. Butter. Carrot, rice, radish.
What? Well. How to make a delicious dinner?
I mean, you're not wrong, but you are
category
wrong.
Category is yummy.
I'm going to say butter is out because everything else is from a plant or is a plant.
Yeah.
I mean, you are correct. Butter is the odd man out. So you get a point for that.
Yes.
Butter is the only South Park character on this list.
I'm on the board. Okay, broccoli, carrot, rice, radish. What could that be?
This is also a little nefarious, Nate.
Do you...
This feels evil. I feel picked on.
I mean, you should, because I am.
Butters is the name of a character. I'm giving a hint.
Wait. South Park's not an anime.
South Park is not an anime. I will stake my entire anime podcast on that. South Park is not an anime.
Definitively, objectively.
Objectively not an anime. I mean, there's no Narusasukura in South Park. Because there is no girl.
Butter is... What? Butter is the character?
Don't listen to Remy. He's filling your head with doubt and fear because he's an evil, small little man.
I think I'm too turned around.
I have no idea what's happening.
You got no guess for the category?
No. Okay. I'm all right. Steal.
Remy, you get to steal.
These are names of characters translated into English.
Oh. That's not specific enough to be right.
Oh, come on, Raditz.
Oh.
I mean, okay.
These are names of Dragon Ball characters translated into English. You got it. Okay?
Yes. These are all Dragon Ball character names.
Yes. Okay.
See, nefarious.
Man, this is a really embarrassing time to tell you all I've never watched Dragon Ball.
I mean, now's the time.
No, I mean, this is the worst possible time to admit to that. It's true. This is devastating for you.
Well, I still have 2 points.
This
so
actually
I
makes up for
okay.
me saying that I didn't like his art style. So, yeah.
Don't repeat it. Now I have to cut that out.
Wow. The public will be gunning for you.
Yeah, he can't stop bringing it up. It's making more work for me.
All right.
I'm three up.
You're 3 for 3, and you stole the last point, and it's your turn again.
I got 3 on the board.
All right. Here's one. Here's a tough one that I don't think that you're going to get, just to even it out here.
Wow.
All right. You ready? You ready for me here?
I'm ready. Ichi's ready to go.
Okay. Naruto, Black Clover.
I know that guy.
Bleach.
Uh-huh. I know that guy.
Dragon Ball / Dragon Ball Z.
Thank you.
One Piece.
Uh-huh. I know that guy, too.
These are all guys that you know and love.
I love these guys.
Well, maybe not love, but you know them.
I have affection for some of them. That Bleach guy sucks, but the rest of them, I could feel positively about that. That Black Clover kid.
And actually, you know what? Since I'm the game master here, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to go back. I'm going to give Shelby a retroactive point for knowing that Bleach reference when nobody else did. You get that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I make the rules here. This is my death game.
Well, Shelby did get that point.
Oh, did I mention that the losers die? It's a death game.
This is a death game. We have to kill each other.
No, we have to come together. If we all have the same amount of points, we're all winners.
I could kill Remy so easily.
So now
you can't kill me. I'm the plucky justice shonen character.
Remy's got 3, Shelb has 2, and Lonk has 2.
Wow.
Let me get some more points. Let me get them.
This is arbitrary game mastering. I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Yeah, well, come over here and do something about it.
Okay, well, you know, my obviously my my inclination is to declare a category as shonen, because you did choose the flagship shonen series of the last two decades. I know none of us have ever watched a single episode of Black Clover.
I've watched so much.
You watched Black Clover?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I wish you hadn't admitted to that. I'm so sorry for you.
It is what it is.
That kid fucking sucks. Okay. Well, that is the obvious one. I imagine you've been trying to be a little devious about this. Yeah, so
category is going to be shonen. Like, that's not...
If any category ever was going to be shonen, it would be this one. These are the shonen.
Yeah, but then which one's the one that's not?
Yeah, well, none of them.
I have what I think is an answer.
Well, Remy's been stalling.
He's buying time.
I'm thinking about it. I'm gonna say the problem is you don't know shit about One Piece. Is so I think you're probably wrong about that, whatever that you think about One Piece is.
My knowledge of One Piece has absolutely no bearing on the answer to this question.
Wow, that's a big clue. Interesting. Okay.
Damn, he's got me monologuing.
Then I'm gonna say the category is shonen that are over a decade old, and Black Clover is the outlier.
Partial credit. You get the point for Black Clover.
Oh.
But that is not the category. Lonk, you get to steal.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to further embarrass myself. And of these five, I've only actually watched some of Bleach. So it's definitely going to be just a shot in the dark. But let's see.
Between the both of you, you have embarrassed yourselves in completely opposite directions.
Isn't that
which is
fun
good.
And yeah. Fresh, though? I love that for us. Okay, Naruto,
watched all of
Bleach,
these.
Dragon Ball, and One Piece all have a sword guy.
Oh, I hate to tell you this, but Black Clover, oh boy. Oh boy, is there a sword guy.
All right. Well, Shelby, win this.
That is the wrong answer.
No, I literally...
Shelby, going for the steal.
My original thought was that Black Clover was the odd one out because it was the only one that was not two decades or more old. But you said Remy was wrong. Yeah,
and it's
so.
The right path of thinking, but it's not the right answer. Oh.
Is it because Black Clover is literally based off of all these other ones, kind of weirdly combined?
All right, you guys want the answer?
It's blended. Wait, let me guess. Black Clover is the only one that's got less than 600 chapters.
No.
Ah. Okay.
All right. The answer was top five best-selling Shonen Jump manga of all time.
Oh.
Wow.
Black Clover.
Well, what's the fifth one?
Fifth Clover is... fifth Clover. The fifth one was Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
All right. This is my last question. So who's this fall on? Lonk?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Final one. Spirited Away, The Wind Rises, My Neighbor Totoro, Grave of the Fireflies, and The Boy and the Heron.
Oh, The Wind Rises is the one that's not Miyazaki.
Combining your answers?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is obviously a list of anime for posers.
okay, so what are you saying the category is?
The Boy and the Heron and Grave of the Fireflies and Spirited Away and My Neighbor Totoro are Miyazaki films. But The Wind Rises is just a Studio Ghibli.
You are correct on the category. Ugh. Shelby, going for the steal.
Steal
which is the odd man out.
Yeah. Okay. So, they are all it's Grave of the Fireflies. That's
that is correct,
because that's the only one that wasn't Miyazaki.
I swapped them. Okay.
All right.
Good teamwork.
Woo.
That's it.
Wow. What's the final tally? I think I hit 4.
So the final count was Remy got 4, Lunk got 3, and Shelby got 3.
Yes. Woo. I win. The one with the anime podcast knows the most about anime.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like a totally fair fight.
Squeaked in there.
I would have been so embarrassed if I lost.
I think Wonk and I should get extra points for putting up with what I just listened to.
Yeah, no, actually, I agree with that. You guys each get 5 extra points. Remy, I'm taking away points from you.
Yeah.
You lose. You die. You die now, sir.
I die now.
Your punishment is you have to keep making this podcast.
Yes, I'm stuck in this fucking limbo.
You have to keep watching anime.
My punishment is I have to keep listening.
My punishment is I had to read 2 chapters of that fucking Cigarette Girl manga, which I think has permanently scarred me forever.
It's truly, it's probably one of the most devious things you've ever brought up on this show.
The evils of manga truly like bottomless pits.
All right. Well, that's it for my little game. I'd like to thank our guests today for putting up with our bullshit. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lonk. Thank you, Shelby, for making sure Nate doesn't fuck this up again.
I think I did okay. This was much better than the Jeopardy episode.
This was much closer to a real game.
Yeah.
You really nailed it.
This was
fun.
Good job. Good job, everybody.
Thank you.
Good job, us. Good job, anime.
Good job, anime.
Anime really did it. Anime pulled through for us.
Proud of you, anime.
Anime, you pulled in a win today. That's not usual for you. I'm proud.
Anime is great. We mentioned a lot of bad anime, but we still came out on top somehow through the power of friendship. And is there anything more anime than that?
It's yet to be seen.
All right. Okay. Fucking anime. God damn it.
Oh, there he goes again, right back down the spiral.
I thought it was turning a new leaf. I thought this could be a new show, new me, but at the end of the day, anime still saps my life force. That was enough anime for the week.
All right. Well, as always, check us out on TikTok, on YouTube, like, subscribe, do the stuff, please. We're desperate at this point.
Follow up Blue Sky, the one that doesn't exist for Nate.
I just don't like the icon.
Okay. Handsome and beautiful listeners, thank you for joining us yet again. Some actually tangibly this time, which is a nice change of pace. Until next time, at the count of 3, we're all going to say bye. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Bye.
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 Gonna just pay us through Cash App, or how's that gonna go?
Let's take this off air.